power that has given us strength to be here today as we come on the last calendar day of November. We give God thanks. As Brother Carey said, God is good not just on Sunday morning. God is good all the time. And all the time God is good even when we are not. We thank you for your presence here, for visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you're among the friends. And invite and encourage you to come back as often as you can and know assuredly that a warm Christian welcome awaits you here at the Blessed Church of Christ. Well, the Bible says in Romans 16 and verse number 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The Church of Christ salute you. We also want you to be like the Bereans were in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Well, the Bible says, for these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to consider whether these things are so. I want to suggest to you that says to me that you and I have a personal responsibility to study God's word and get book, chapter, and verse, and make sure that whatever is preached from this pulpit or any pulpit is that thus saith the Lord, because the Bible says that God's word will judge us in the last day. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. The Gospel of Luke chapter 19 and meet me in verse number 1, and I'll read into your hearing from the New King James Version. Luke chapter 19, beginning verse number 1, it is here that our Bibles read and teach. Then Jesus answered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he is going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, Jesus comes to Zacchaeus' house. One of the words that I am hearing more and more these days is the word challenges. Challenges. And I want to suggest that you and I, or perhaps don't know the challenges that perhaps the person that you're sitting next to this morning faced even coming to this building. All of us face challenges, unique challenges. And so sometimes we in those challenges may feel inadequate, less than, perhaps unworthy to receive or encounter the Lord. It is during these times that we sometimes convince ourselves that it's not worth bothering, or we decide that we try to fix things ourselves or do nothing at all. Sometimes we can suffer from the paralysis of overanalysis. That was me. Sometimes life can so overwhelm us that we don't do anything. There was a time when you could greet your neighbor. There was a time that you could bake a cake and take it to someone next door. But here we see in this text a man who, for all intents and purposes, made up his mind to see Jesus. And he didn't allow anything and anyone to stop him from that purpose. And so let's notice in the text, this man, his name was Zacchaeus. And his name means righteous one. The Bible says that he was a chief tax collector. He was the head in the United Kingdom of HMRC. He was the Chancellor of the Exchequer, the Finance Minister of the day. And about some translations say he was a publican, and also that he was very rich. He not only collected taxes from his own people as a Jew, but he also worked for the unclean Gentiles. He worked for the enemy, Just imagine, on the way home from church today, you run by the head of HMRC and says, I want to come to your house and have a conversation with you. Would you invite me in? Publicans were notorious for collecting more taxes than were required. Nine times out of ten, the chief tax collectors or tax collectors took more, some for the government and some for themselves. And so the Bible says in verse number one, Jesus entered and passed through this place called Jericho. You remember that name, Jericho, in the Old Testament, because Jericho was destroyed by Joshua and cursed. However, Jesus found it necessary to pass through this city. And notice Zacchaeus' zeal. It says in verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd. And so Zacchaeus ran to see who Jesus was. And in the East, in Eastern culture, it was unusual for a man to run. You remember in the story of the prodigal son, the father ran to greet the son when he was on his way back home. And so, especially a wealthy government official, it would be unheard of. And even, the Bible says, climbed up in a sycamore tree, and I think in the NIV says a fig tree. His problem, what was his problem? Too many people. Too many people, and too short in stature. This past Friday was Black Friday. And perhaps you found it necessary to go into the city or to do some shopping. Now, I'm not a person that likes a lot of people. I don't like crowds. Maybe it was COVID that did it to me. And so Zacchaeus, he didn't let that stop him. His problem again, too many people, and he was short in stature. And I'm so glad, church, that God is interested in short people. God is interested in short people. I'm 6'2", but I'm still short. How do I know that? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. I might be tall in stature, but I'm still short in God's eye. What does that word, that term, fall short, means? It means to miss the mark. It means to miss the mark. This is an archery analogy. You see an archer and he pulls his bow, and what's he trying to do? He's trying to hit the bullseye, and the arrow falls short. That arrow, that bullseye is salvation, and we all fall short. And so no one measures up to God's high standards, and we all are too short to enter heaven. And that's why Zacchaeus needed to see Jesus that day. He was determined and decided to get a bird's eye view. According to verse number 4, he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass, the Bible says, that way. Notice his determination. He did not allow any barriers to hinder his seeing Jesus, and he was not ashamed to do so, for he was going to pass that way. But, you know, you and I have 52 opportunities every year to see Jesus. Did you know that every year has 52 weeks? Isn't that right? And so we have the opportunity, but are we determined to see Jesus? There's a song that says, oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. Not everybody wants to see him. Did you know that? Maybe you want to see him when there's a trouble, when there's trouble, but do you want to see him each and every opportunity is the question today. And so we're seeking man became found. In verse number 5, the Bible says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And interesting. That wasn't coincidence. That wasn't common. That wasn't an accident. And said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Jesus, the Bible says in verse number 10 of our text, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, it's easier to find something if you're looking for it. And it's easier to be found when you're in the place in order to be found. And so, and sinners should seek to see Jesus just like Zacchaeus. Jesus knows and notices where you are. Did you know that? You can even feel alone in a crowd. ever feel like that? You're in a crowded room and you still feel like insignificant? Just like in an ocean of humanity, I look at the airport, and when I go to the airport, I try to look around every once in a while, you just see people just coming and going. I think to myself, I wonder where that person is going. Somebody's going to Japan, somebody's going to some other country, somebody's going to see a loved one, Thanksgiving holiday, the holidays are coming, people are traveling. Oh, I want to see who? I want to see Jesus. And so notice the account, the encounter and the command. He said, make haste. In other words, without delay, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Can Jesus come and stay at your house? What will Jesus find at your house today? Would you scramble to hide some things or perhaps to put things together for Jesus? Can Jesus find room at your house? Christ also called him by name, Zacchaeus. He, how did he know Zacchaeus' name? Because Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. And one day he will call each and every one of us by name. Amen? He will call you. And I always say by your government name. You know, folks, I filled out a survey for some work-related task. And in there said, what's your pronoun? He, him, he, her, she, it, they, us. What is your pronoun? It's male or female. Amen. Because God will call you by your government name. What you were born as is what God will call you as. You can change your name to whatever you want. See, you can buy a Toyota car and put a Mercedes-Benz logo on the front, but it's still a Toyota. Amen. The engine is what the manufacturer is the one that gives it the name. And so God called it by name, just like Nathanael in John chapter 1 and verse 48, and invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. And notice in verse number 6, the host became the guest. The host became the guest. Verse 6 of our text says, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus. Even though Jesus invited himself, you know in England, somebody told me, you can't just invite yourself to people's houses here. That's what they say. But amen, but not all of us are that way. You can come to my house anytime you want. You don't have to be invited. And so Jesus invited himself and he was received joyfully. Zacchaeus became the guest in his own house, for Jesus was now his master. He was ready to obey the Lord and do whatever was necessary to establish a genuine testimony before the people. Because, see, the people on the outside were looking down on Zacchaeus. And even the people on the inside of his house were looking down on him as well. And so then the guests became the critics. The critics always come. Haters will always show up. Amen. When you're happy, somebody doesn't want you to be happy. That's life. Might be your family member, could be your co-worker. And see, just because people are grinning in your face doesn't mean they're pointing. That was for free. That was for free. Notice in the text, the Bible says in verse number 7, but when they saw it, they all complained, said, he is going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Because the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. We ought to be about the same business. Amen. You know, sometimes we better be careful of the circle we roll with. And so the narrow-minded Jews responded in verse number 7, were they not also sinful men too? Were they not all sinful men too? Romans 3:20, for all have sinned. Amen. Never forget that all of us sin. Before we start turning up our noses at people and pointing fingers at people, always remember that we all sin. Because many lost sinners think they're big, but we're all short. They measure themselves by man's standards, by the amount of money we make, the position, the authority, popularity, things that are an abomination in the sight of God, according to Luke chapter 16, verse number 15. And although Zacchaeus lived in a so-called sinful city by man's standards, They thought he was not fit to converse with Jesus. Yet he, unlike them, received the Lord with joy. Because man's standard is not God's standard, because God is the standard. Amen. God is interested in sinful people, and we ought to be as well. We ought to be interested in everybody from the uttermost to the guttermost. And so notice in verses 7-8, a small man became big. A small man became big. The Bible says in verse number 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold." What did he mean by that? What did Zacchaeus mean by that when he said that to the Lord? That had some meaning. He was a generous man. The Bible says in Psalm 41 and verse number 1, "Blessed is the man who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." Blessed is the man who considers the poor. The Bible also says the poor will always be with us. In every country, you're going to have some poor folk. Amen. You might be a poor folk that needs something. And even in this country, you might say, "Well, I don't have much," but you are better off than the majority of people in third world countries. You can go to the store and you've got 5 different types of ketchup, 10 different types of cereal. You've got it going on. But blessed is the man who considers the poor, the Bible says. That's what the psalmist says. And so the law of Moses demanded restitution and satisfaction. Restitution and satisfaction. Because listen, if even in our court systems today, when you stand before the judge's job is to make sure that restitution is made. If you steal something, you must restore it. And the Lord said you had to add something on top of it. And so restitution and satisfaction of 1/5. Notice Zacchaeus said, I give 4-fold. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. You know the verse. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves with treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Huh? I'll be like that. I'll be laying up treasure on here on earth. Amen. Because guess what? Everything you own is going to get burned up. And everything you own, somebody else is going to get rid of. Amen. That house that you're working hard for, paying a mortgage for, someday you're going to have to leave that house. And someday somebody might sell that house. All those good clothes and all that junk that you're piling up. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For the Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But how do we use the things that God has blessed us with? It's a question on Paul. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Now you're saying, "Well, listen, right? A camel can't go through an eye of a needle." He's not talking literal. He's talking in a figurative sense. Because rich folk have a hard time giving up things. Don't let things define you. Matthew chapter 19, verses 24 and 25. So a poor man also became rich. The Bible says in verses 9 and 10, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." The people gathered thought Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, and the Bible says he was, but he was only a bankrupt sinner who needed salvation. The most expensive gift God can offer man is salvation. God's not interested in education. He's not interested in status. He's not interested in the things perhaps that you're not interested, that you are interested. He is interested in the salvation of mankind. Zacchaeus was not saved because he was a good man or because he promised to do good works. Do we think that? Do you think, well, if I do good works, God's going to accept me? That's not what Jesus is interested in. That's not what God is interested in. He was saved because he responded in faith to Christ's gracious words in. And Jesus says, I'm going to invite myself to your house. But how did we receive the Lord? Zacchaeus put no confidence in the flesh. For the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. In other words, you cannot work your way into heaven. Good deeds, good works will not bring salvation. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He put his faith into action because the Bible says that faith without works is dead. James 2 and verse 26. Therefore, know that only those who are faith are the sons of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 7. What did Abraham do? Abraham was called on by God to offer his son Isaac sacrificially, and Abraham did it without question, without waiver, and before he got a chance to do the deed, the Lord stopped him, and then he looked and he saw a ram in the bush, and he said this, he understood that God would provide. What did Abraham do? He accepted what God said without seeing the outcome. And you and I, God will put our faith to the test as well. Faith works. God works when we work, but we must activate our faith by doing something. Jesus said, come down from that tree. I'm coming to your house. And that is what impressed God. And you and I, church, must recognize the best time to come is often when we don't want to come. That doesn't make sense, does it? The best time to come is often when you don't want to come. And so the child, listen, he says in Zacchaeus restored what the Bible says fourfold. Under the Mosaic law, if a thief voluntarily confessed his crime, he had to restore what he had took and add one-fifth to it and bring a trespass offering to the Lord according to Leviticus chapter 6. Verses 1 through 7. So that's restitution plus one-fifth. If he stole something that he could not restore, he had to repay it fourfold according to Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 1. What can't you restore? Listen, if you kill somebody, you can't bring the person back to life. And so the law said you had to restore fourfold. And if he was caught with the goods, he had to repay double according to Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 4. And so Zacchaeus, unlike some of us, he didn't argue with the law. He didn't argue or try to bargain his way through the terms of the law. He offered to pay, watch this now, the highest price. He didn't say, I'll just pay it. He didn't say, I'll pay double. He said, I'll pay the highest amount fourfold. Why? Because his heart hadn't changed. He might have been a tax collector, but he was an honest tax collector. Amen. You know, yeah, but one of the things I wonder, you know, as Christians, we ought to be the most honorable people. The Bible says, let your yes be yes, or your yea be nay, yea be yea, and your nay be nay. People ought not have to question our sincerity. And so the child of God is born rich, for he shares every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. He was rich. We have the riches of God's grace and mercy, as well as the riches of his glory. And so Zacchaeus, he said, Lord, I know these people are looking down on me, but I'm an honorable man, and I'll go above and beyond what the Lord even said. But what can we learn from Zacchaeus today? What can we learn from Zacchaeus today? Number one, that Jesus loves us even in our less than, even in our short condition. Number two, we must diligently seek to see Jesus with an eye of faith. Number three, We must seek him despite the obstacles in our way. Despite the obstacles in our way. You know, I don't always want to come, and you don't always want to come. Amen. It's cold outside, it's wet outside, it's hot outside, and some obstacle gets you away. You say, you know what, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go. But I always remember that Jesus got hung up for my hang-ups. Jesus was inconvenienced for me. Jesus was spat upon and beaten for me. And how dare I not go and see Jesus? Number four, Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, and Jesus took notice of him. Number five, he was short spiritually, just like we are, Romans 3:23. However, he sought the Lord by faith. Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, you know how to do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When the day begins, you never know how that day will end. When your day begins, you never know how your day will end. For Zacchaeus, that day ended in joyful fellowship with the Son of God, but he was now a changed man with a changed life. And Jesus is still seeking the Lord and yearning to save him. How determined are you to seek him? We all need the love of Christ. He knows our name. He knows our pain. He knows the challenges that we face. And he is seeking us more often than we probably even realize. The question is, are we seeking him in the same manner? The Lord wants to come to your house as well. Open up and let him in. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and him with me. Perhaps you've seen that painting, which illustrates Revelation 3:20. It shows a man standing at a door. Just any old wooden door in your mind. The interesting thing about this door is there's no knob on the side of the door on the outside. The only knob is on the inside. You represent the man on the inside of the house. Jesus is knocking at the door, seeking to gain entry. He's not going to force his way in there. He's not going to beg. He's not going to plead. It's up to you whether or not you allow Jesus in your house. Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house because Zacchaeus was seeking him. The Lord wants you to seek him as well. If you're here this morning, I pray that you come because you're seeking Jesus, not because of anything that I can offer you or that the church can offer you, but rather Jesus. The sign of sale says, outside says, the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ. He'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, he'll never disappoint you. He'll always be up, he'll always be ready, but are you ready? If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by doing five simple things. You must first of all hear the word of God, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you from your sins. That's John 3:16. Then you must also repent of your sins. Repentance simply means you change your mind with a view to change your actions. Luke 13:3-5. You must confess Jesus as Lord. Romans 10:9-10. And finally, you must complete your obedience by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Mark 16:15-16. Acts 2:38. Matthew 28:18-20 talks about baptism. And for those of us who are Christians, the seeking does not and at the baptistry. It's a continuum. The Bible says to work out your own salvation. That's a continual daily challenge. That's the word, challenge. Joyfully. Receive the Lord joyfully, even when it's not joyful on the outside. With Jesus, everything is joyful. Because listen, the Hebrew writer talks about Jesus. He says, he endured the cross. He said, he despised the shame. But what was the reward? The joy that would come for the salvation of lost men. Our dear brother Jeffrey obeyed the gospel on the 16th of November. Amen. I remember when I obeyed the gospel some 35 years ago. I still remember the day. And I still wonder why he chose me, and he's not finished with me yet. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. That's the best decision I've made in my life, becoming a Christian. And the best decision I've made is staying a Christian. Amen. Because you can lose and walk away from it, but I want to be like Zacchaeus. I want to always welcome Jesus in the house. For those of us who are Christians, perhaps you've lost your way. Perhaps you need prayer. Perhaps you want the Lord restore that joy. In the Father's house is fullness of joy. But you can have it here in the here and now. You don't have to wait until judgment day. You don't have to wait for heaven. You can have it here. If you need prayer, this church will endure if we remain faithful. He's not looking for everybody, he's looking for you. Amen. Will you be in the few? If you just want to give God thanks for his goodness, his grace, and mercy, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.